And welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, December 4th. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a great show lined up for you today. Beth Weigel will be here to talk to us about all the goings-on at the local libraries. We'll talk with Dove Gartenberg about this month's Inside Passage program on handling stress. Tis the season. We'll also get a highlight from the Zimbabwe exhibit here at KTOO for First Friday's Gallery Walk. Nancy DeCherney will be here to update us on all things Gallery Walk because tomorrow's a really big day. We'll also talk with Pat Race from Alaska Robotics. All that and more here on a Juno Afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Vice President Joe Biden praised tribal leaders Wednesday for addressing violence in Indian country. With more is Matt Laszlo in Washington.
With tribal leaders gathered in Washington this week, the Obama administration is thanking them for their help in updating the Violence Against Women Act last year. For decades, if perpetrators of sexual violence weren't Native Americans, they could act with immunity on tribal lands, something leaders at the White House Tribal Conference want to relegate to the past. Starting this spring, tribes will be able to investigate, prosecute, try, and sentence non-Natives who sexually assault Native women on tribal lands. It's an issue Vice President Joe Biden has been an advocate of for years. He says the select number of tribes that are already in a pilot program are flexing new sovereign rights to protect women. He thinks the winds of change are at the backs of tribal law enforcement.
In fact, one tribe even reported that an abuser confidently told the arresting officer that he couldn't touch him under the law until the officer was able to inform him the law is changed, Jack. You got a problem. You've got a big problem.
White House and Native leaders say tribal sovereignty is creating a new umbrella of protection for victims of intimate partner violence. Last week, the White House awarded Suzanne Harjo the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She's president of the Morningstar Institute.
So, the feds are too far away. The states are too far away. The people with the nearest interest and nearest jurisdiction and nearest reach had their hands tied.
The Justice Department says half of all Native American women have at least been stalked, while a third of Native women report being raped in their lifetimes. All the more reason tribal leaders can't wait for the full reforms to the Native criminal justice system to kick in this spring, though officials are still fighting to extend those protections to Alaska Natives. I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
An Alaska Native teen has attracted a following on social media for sharing his own Yupik songs. KYUK's Charles Enoch reports.
16-year-old Byron Nikolai created a Facebook page called I Sing You Dance that recently became very popular in and out of the country after his songs were featured on TV news.
Before KTUU, it was only 3,000, and after that, 7,000, then to 10,000. It's crazy for a guy like me in a village to get that many likes.
Nikolai has been a drummer in Tuksuk Bay's traditional group since fifth grade. He says his video page started when he downloaded an app and started playing around with it. After he uploaded videos without distortion, his audience told him they prefer his natural voice. This song describes Alaska Native culture and is one of his most popular videos with almost 3,000 likes. He hasn't stopped experimenting with his sound. Many of Nikolai's fans said this song was their favorite, even though most of them don't speak the language. His voice is augmented by a natural echo off a drum, a trick he learned from his cousin, Moses Charles.
One time during a rock practice, he showed me how he did that, and I thought it sounded awesome. The phone has to be inside of the circle of the drum for you to hear the echo. That's why I'm so close.
Tuksuk Bay elder Joseph Anaruk Felix, who sings with Byron in school, is glad to hear the young man making music projects.
They don't have dances attached to them, as is our tradition, but it is very entertaining to me. I encourage other people to try this because it brings us closer to our culture.
Nikolai says he is working on a song that goes with a dance and expects to release it sometime soon. He says he would like to be able to travel to teach about his culture and traditional dancing. In Bethel, I'm Charles Enoch.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 5th Annual Native American Training Institute, April 12th. Information on services and the NATI event at ahcnm.org. Program support by the Institute of American Indian Arts, offering the MFA in Creative Writing, featuring one-on-one mentorships with authors like Sherman Alexie, Natalie Diaz, and Joseph Boyden. More information available at iaia.edu/MFA.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, December 4th. And what a cool story on National Native News about a Bethel teen writing songs. Hi, Beth Weigel.
Hi, Shona Osterhout.
I know. First guest in the studio, Beth Weigel from the Juno Public Library, is always shaking it up, the public library system. Miss Beth Weigel.
Yeah, we've got some really fun holiday programs happening this time of year at the Juno Public Libraries. And did you have a chance to see The Christmas Doll as a musical? The high school and Northern Lights Junior Theater put that on just recently.
I missed it.
Yeah, well, we had the woman who was the playwright come into town. She did a little workshop with us, and we're going to do our final Christmas Doll event as a book club. So it was a book first by Elvira Woodruff, and so anybody who's interested in reading the book and coming and talking about it, on Monday the 15th at the Douglas Library at 6 p.m. We're going to just revisit that one more time, and it's been really a fun project. We're super happy to have been partnered up with Northern Lights Junior Theater and looking at that book and that story. Then we are going to also have a holiday community read aloud on Christmas Eve Day. We're going to read Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and we're just going to take that journey Scrooge takes from being a bah humbug to keeping Christmas well and blessing everyone at the end with Tiny Tim. So that'll be a fun day. It'll be similar to the way we ran Bardathon. Anybody from the community can come in and read. We've got it broken out into like 26 parts or something like that. A lot of them narration parts, but it's broken down so nobody's going to be reading for pages and pages. And it should be fun. We'll probably serve up some nice hot cider or something like that as well. And we'll just, you know, read through the book, because I think so many of us have become familiar with film versions and, you know, different adaptations of the book that it's nice to go back to the original text sometimes.
You know, it's great. And it's interesting, too, because a lot of the film versions and a lot of the stage versions actually stay very true to his writing.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool because, you know, when I go back to the text, because I have recently, because I'm a good geek like that, that you'll be able, the writing is so still clear and true as it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. So we're going to do that. And then last year and in past years, I've been involved with the Eagle Crest Christmas Eve. And last year, we changed things up a little bit to have some Christmas stories that we read aloud. And so I have this great Christmas story called The Christmas Wish of a little girl who lives in, you know, kind of a Norwegian place, and she gets on her reindeer and skis and goes in search of Santa Claus, and it's this great adventure. So I'll read that, and of course we'll put everybody in line, and we'll divvy it out, and we'll do Night Before Christmas as well, and just read that aloud. So that should be pretty fun up at Eagle Crest on Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve day, Christmas Eve evening, lots of fun storytelling that we'll be doing. We're also starting a new program with SEGLA, Southeast Alaska Gay and Lesbian Alliance. We're starting an after-hours film night that we'll do once a month, and I'm gonna give you a quiz. I think you won't have too hard of a time with this to guess the name of the movie, okay?
Okay.
All right, it's about a bunch of young people living in New York City around Oh, my gosh, you're so good.
I'm so good. Well, you should probably finish it for people who don't know what Rent is, because I just... You said a bunch of young people in New York City. Boom.
Boom. Yeah, I didn't tell you the name of the film, right? It's about this group of people living in the East Village under the shadow of HIV and AIDS. So it's an after-hours film because it is rated above G and PG even, I think. So that'll be fun. And once a month, you can look for those CIGLA after-hours film nights at the Douglas Library.
Cool.
And then the other thing we do at the holidays at the library out at the Mendenhall Valley is we made this amazingly wonderful 20-foot by 20-foot labyrinth on canvas last year. And so we lay that down in the meeting room, and people can come and sort of do a little walking meditation and help relieve their stress during the holidays. So that's available on Fridays throughout December at various times.
Wait, what is that? I've never heard of this.
You've never heard of this.
Well, so you probably told me about it.
I probably did.
Yeah, tell me
so,
again.
So, a labyrinth, like out at the Shrine of St. Therese, they have a labyrinth that's on the ground there. So we did it with a canvas and duct tape, basically, and it's 20 feet by 20 feet, so it fits in our meeting room at the Mendenhall Valley Library, and we just open it up, and people can come and just follow the path and sort of do a little meditative walking. We dim the lights and makes for a nice event for young children, especially. We did it at Halloween, and we did it on CBJ Day of Play, so people are maybe getting a little more familiar with our labyrinth that we put out. But I think at the holidays, it's a nice alternative for some people who don't really get into the holidays in the ways other people do, so it gives you a chance to just sort of have a walking reflection, perhaps, for a few minutes and stop by the library.
That's great.
And let's see, just to remind people that we continue with our third Thursday family night. It'll be happening on the 18th, and we're going to have some of our great exchange students that are here in Juneau, one from Chile and Germany and France, and they're going to come and talk about what holidays are like in their countries, and that'll be nice. And just a reminder that we will close early on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve at 5 o'clock at all our branches, and then we will be closed on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So the library is a great place. We've got all our holiday books out, and it's fun just to stop by and check out a few of your favorite stories and come and read with us on Christmas Eve Day.
Yeah, that sounds like a great opportunity. I had another question about the Spanish-speaking movie nights. Are those still happening?
Yeah, we have changed up the things a little bit. Our librarian who was doing those has a different job at the library, so we aren't doing them for now, and maybe we'll bring that back at some time in the future. And then one other thing just to mention, the bricks. If you haven't gotten your brick yet, you have until the end of December to order your brick for the New Valley Library, which is you can get it engraved with, your name or a saying or whatever you want, some quote from a book. They'll be representatives selling bricks tomorrow night on First Friday at the Jack, I believe, or somewhere in downtown Juneau. So visit and get your brick. You can go online at friendsjpl.org to do that as well. So,
you know what? I'm actually going in on a brick with somebody.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because we couldn't really afford two lines on our own. And so we're like, okay, let's get a brick together.
Yeah,
because
perfect.
We know. We don't care that anybody else
exactly.
knows, but we know.
Yeah, another way you can share in the cost of a brick is one of our librarians, Andy. She's come with me before, and she's kind of putting together a Harry Potter-themed bricks. And so if you only have $20 and you want to be part of the Harry Potter stuff, you can do that.
Oh, too cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So people who want to, say, find out more information about the Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens, where can they check out online?
You can visit our website at juno.org/library. We also have a Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/library events.
Cool.
Yep.
Beth Weigel, always a pleasure. I love that you make the library happen in place.
Oh, thank you, Shona.
Yeah, thank you. and thank you for joining us for Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, December 4th. And in the studio with me, I have Dov Gartenberg. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
Yeah, so this month's Inside Passage program is focusing on handling stress. So I would hope that you can kind of, because you've been on to talk about Inside Passage program before, which mm-hmm. is really wonderful, but can you give people a reminder of just what the program is?
Sure. Inside Passages is a monthly program on mental health and wellness for the whole community. And we have each month a different talk, a different presenter, on a different type of theme that's connected with mental health and wellness. And this month we're going to be talking about mindfulness stress reduction, which is one now is really coming into prominence as a very effective way for reducing stress and anxiety in our lives.
And how you choose the Inside Passage topics, is it, you know, did you look at the holiday season and you're like, well, getting rid of stress during the holiday season is probably a thing.
Yes, partly. Also, my wife, Dr. Joanne Gartenberg, who could not be here today, is the presenter, and she has offered the mindfulness stress reduction programs at Bartlett, and they're very popular. In fact, she was our inaugural speaker for Inside Passages, almost 2 years ago, and she drew a big crowd then. We anticipate a big crowd again for her to talk about this wonderful approach to living a healthier life.
And by mindfulness, do you mean? I mean, does it have to do with meditation and how your daily practice of breathing is and things like that?
It's mindfulness is a form of practices that involve mostly meditation, but also mindful speech, mindful eating, mindful relationship, relating with others. But it's in this format, which Joanne will talk about, is primarily the meditational model. This particular form of meditation is not specifically religious. It's a scientific model that was developed by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is a physician out of the East Coast. And it is it's based on scientific studies of when you meditate, how you reduce stress and how you also focus back on the breath. So it's a wonderful, wonderful methodology and proven scientifically.
You know, I hear the word mindful, and I'm wondering if you could unpack that for me a little bit, because I think mindful, and I'm like, well, everything I do is mindful, but I'm wondering if you could break that down for me a little bit.
Sure. Mindful, we are mindful, but also we have the expression absent-mindedness.
I do that.
Right? It's not so much that the mind is there and then it's not there, but mindfulness is a way of focusing the mind, of removing distraction, or and it's a technique, and it really, really has to be practice of settling the mind. So the mind is a very complex, our brains are very, very complex. But what studies show is that if you can develop a way that settles the mind on a fairly consistent basis, you remain more alert, you are more, your decision-making is improved, your stress is reduced, your relationships improve. There are so many benefits to what I call a heightened mindfulness. I think people do... So you're an actor, so you know you're very mindful when you are delivering lines in a play. You have to be very focused, and you know. So we do use mindfulness in certain ways, and people who are trained in various arts or other forms of endeavor can bring mindfulness to those aspects. But this is really a form of mindfulness that has broad applicability to all areas of your life, not just, say, your professional life, but to really your daily life.
So it's a holistic approach, essentially, to
absolutely.
Mindfulness.
Absolutely. It's so important. And I think, you know, we live compartmentalized lives in so many ways. So this methodology is really good at decompartmentalizing. That is, bringing reduced stress to all aspects of your life. Again, it's a practice, and it has to be worked on. But that's what people can come and learn about at the Inside Passages program.
So does that mean that Dr. Gartenberg will actually present a series of techniques as well as kind of giving the information?
She's going to give an overview of what she teaches and what's involved, and then people can ask questions. It's an hour and a half format, and it's probably a bit of a taste, but it's very informative, and she also may give some history about how this method developed and in relationship to spiritual practices out of various traditions that use meditation or mindfulness practices. So it should be, and then you can also hear about the mindfulness classes that are being offered that may be of interest to you. So it'll help probably a little bit with the holiday season.
Yeah. So you can actually kind of get a taste for it at this Inside Passage lecture and then maybe sign up for classes if it's something that interests you.
Absolutely.
So what day is it and what time is it?
It's Tuesday, December 9th from 5:15 to 6:45 at the Bartlett Regional Hospital Administrative Building. There are classrooms in that building, and just walk in. There'll be a poster there where the room will be.
And is it free and open to the public?
Free and open to the public. So it's really anyone who has any stress. If you don't have stress, don't want to see you there.
You're going to have 32,000 people at this seminar. Depending on the road.
As they say in Yiddish, halavai. Only if.
Great. And if people want more information about the Inside Passages program, because it's an ongoing series.
Not only it's an ongoing series, if you are a professional therapist or MSW, you can get CE credits by attending. And so you go to, you can find information either as a member of the public or as a provider, a mental health provider at namijuno.org. It has it all there. And or you can call us at 463-4251 and we'll give you the information over the line.
Great. Dove, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, December 4th, and here is Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 4th of December, 2014. It was on this day, 1674, that the French priest, Father Jacques Marquette, built a log cabin on the shores of Lake Michigan in the spot that would eventually become the city of Chicago. He was well fitted for exploration. He spoke quite a few Native American languages, and members of the Illinois tribe told him about the trading river to the west, the Mississippi. He and the fur trader Louis Joliet explored the Mississippi from Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, down to the Arkansas River, then headed north, and at the mouth of the Illinois River, they took a shortcut back to Lake Michigan, arriving in the area that would eventually become Chicago, where they got snowed in on this day in 1674. Marquette died there the following year, and Louis Joliet made it back to Quebec and told everybody about what they had seen. The first edition of the Observer newspaper was published on this day, 1791. It's the oldest Sunday paper in the world, acquired about 20 years ago by The Guardian. It's the birthday of the poet Rainer Maria Rilke, born in Prague, 1875, made his career as a poet by seducing a series of rich, noble women who would support him while he wrote his books. One of them let him live for a while in her castle near Trieste, her castle Duino, where he wrote a cycle of 10 long poems that he called the Duino Elegies, about the difference between angels and people and the meaning of death, and his idea that human beings are put on earth in order to experience the beauty of the ordinary. It's the birthday of the historian and philosopher Thomas Carlyle, born in Scotland in 1795, set out to write a history of the French Revolution, spent months on it, then lent the manuscript to his friend John Stuart Mill, whose maid accidentally threw it into the fire. Carlyle began rewriting it immediately, and the book came out in 1837 and became one of his most respected works. In fact, Charles Dickens used it as a reference when he was writing A Tale of Two Cities 20 years later. It's the birthday of Cornell Woolrich, mystery writer, New York City, 1903, author of many novels that were turned into films noir, The Bride Wore Black, Night Has a Thousand Eyes, and his story It Had to Be Murder, which inspired Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. And it's the birthday of Samuel Butler, born near Bingham, England, 1835, author of the novel The Way of All Flesh, in which he satirized Victorian society and his own painful childhood so thoroughly he did not dare publish it during his lifetime. He died in 1902. The book came out in 1903. Here's a poem for today by Philip Larkin, First Sight. Lambs that learn to walk in snow when their bleating clouds the air meet a vast unwelcome, know nothing but a sunless glare. Newly stumbling to and fro, all they find outside the fold is a wretched width of cold. As they wait beside the ewe, her fleeces wetly caked, their lies hidden round them, waiting to earth's immeasurable surprise. They could not grasp it if they knew what so soon will wake and grow utterly unlike the snow. Philip Larkin's poem First Sight from his collected poems published by Ferris Strauss and Giroux and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Heather Bryant, webmaster here at K2. Each month we construct an online First Friday art guide with pictures and descriptions of gallery openings and events. We've gotten positive feedback on the guide and enjoy providing this service to our listeners and web users. If you're an artist or business owner, please send your picture and brief description to arts@ktoo.org. And don't forget to use the guide as you make your First Friday plans.
Support for this program comes from the Native Craft Co-op, located in downtown Juneau in the Senate Building, offering locally made and handmade Native craft, including beads, t-shirts, custom orders, and more. More information at facebook.com/nativecraftcoop.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, December 4th. And joining me in the studio today is Madeline Lefebvre, as well as Teresa Burks. And Teresa and Madeline are both in charge of bringing a fine Zimbabwe artist project here to Juno. And actually, Teresa is the executive director of the Zimbabwe artist project. Welcome to Juno. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so if, for people who don't know, would you mind telling us what the Zimbabwe Artist Project is?
Sure. Zimbabwe Artist Project, or ZAP, is nice and easy, is a nonprofit organization that works with artists from eastern Zimbabwe in an area called Weya. And what our main focus is to purchase art from the artists and bring it to the United States and then sell it on their behalf. We also provide health care for all the artists that we work with, and we provide educational opportunities for children who have been orphaned in the Weya area, mainly due to HIV and AIDS, and we do special projects with the artists.
So these artists are essentially contracted by the organization, it seems like, or they're employed by the organization?
Well, they're not employed by us. Actually, the artist, our founder, went to Zimbabwe. He was a professor at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon, a sociology professor. His name is Dick Adams, and he's actually been here in Juneau before. And he met the artists, and they approached him, and they said, would you help us sell our art in America? Because in Zimbabwe, fewer tourists were going to Zimbabwe at that time. This was in the 90s, and now even fewer are going there now in, 2014. So it started as a nonprofit in 1999, and we have been working with the same group of artists for the past 15 years. So we have developed close relationships with a number of them, and we really enjoy working with them. But we've also, been able to kind of, because we know them well, we've been able to work with them in their community, which has been a real honor to be able to do that.
That's amazing. Madeline, when did you get involved? Because you're really instrumental in actually bringing this group and this artwork to Juneau.
Mm-hmm. I really believe in the work that ZAP is doing in support of the women of Wea and the rural areas outside Harare. I lived in Portland, Oregon for a few years, and I became involved with the founder. I met him through some social justice programs I was involved with in the Portland area, and I've always been fascinated by Africa. I knew a little bit about Zimbabwe. It was just, and then what they do with these women and their families. And my angle was HIV/AIDS because I was involved with that. And this organization does so much more than just focus on supporting those who are living with HIV/AIDS because of that close connection that they have now. It's about education. It's about health education. It's about self-support. It's about women's empowerment. It's just fabulous. And the artwork is beautiful. So
speaking of the artwork, Teresa, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the artwork that will be, because you all are up here at KTOO, right outside these doors.
That's right. And it's been a lot of fun today to be hanging in the hallways. And so there are four types of art that I've brought up here. Appliqué, which is when they make it pictures out of fabric sewn to the piece of cloth.
And she's holding up this beautiful wall hanging, and it's gorgeous. It's got a beautiful giraffe. It's got lots of animals and just gorgeous colors.
Yeah, really. They're really vibrant colors, and they also do embroidery, so in scenes that are all embroidery on a and this piece that I'm holding up right now has fruit hanging from a tree, and it has the fruit moves around because it's kind of crocheted little pieces of fruit. So it's very sweet. And then they do fabric paintings. It's kind of a batik process. So if anybody comes tomorrow, I'm going to be here, and I will be very happy to explain how they make the fabric pieces with the batik process that they use. And then we also have a number of what we call board paintings, and they're painted on wood, but they hang on the wall.
Oh, they look like trays. That's
exactly. Some people call them plates, and some people call them trays.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very colorful and depict village scenes and traditional scenes. And then, of course, the artists are very proud of all of the animals that are found in Zimbabwe. So they do amazing work painting the animals that are found in Zimbabwe.
So what are, for people like me who are like, what is that animal? What are some of the animals found there? Because a lot of these, you held up the I'm going to call them plates for lack of a better term.
Right.
But they have mostly animal or people on them. So like you said, the village scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this one here with some very cool animals.
These are guinea hens or guinea fowls. And they are, they're about the size of a chicken, I would say. And they're just beautiful birds. The feathers are black with white spots. And then they have this blue neck and this red beak and this yellow little thing on their heads. And I'm sure there's a very technical name for that. But they're absolutely adorable. And we have a number of the artists include guinea fowls just because they are very pretty to look at, but they're also in everybody's yards, because so they're often painting scenes that they see. they may not have seen all the animals, the giraffes, and the. It's not like they live with an elephant right outside their homes, but they know that in Zimbabwe has elephants and giraffes, and you know the big five, the buffalo, the lion, and the leopard. So they're very, very proud about that.
Teresa, how did you get involved personally with the Zimbabwe Artist Project?
Well, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Namibia from 94 to 96. And when I moved back to Portland, Oregon, I started asking around who's doing what in different parts of Africa. And actually, my aunt gave me, when I first moved back to Portland, my aunt gave me a board painting from the Zimbabwe Artist Project. I was like, oh, this is so great. Where did you get this? And so I ended up talking with Dick Adams, the founder. And then over the years, I worked for the World Affairs Council of Oregon for 7 years. And during that time, whenever we would have somebody come and speak that was somehow related to Africa, I would go to Dick and I would buy one of the pieces of art. And then we'd give that to the speakers. So that was a lot of fun. And, just kind of kept in contact with what they were doing over the years. And then when he retired, his job became available. And I applied.
Nice. So you're more intimately involved now.
Yes. Much more closely involved now. But it's lovely. I just absolutely love it.
And are these, all of these pieces of artwork that you brought, will they be for sale tomorrow?
Yes, every single piece that I brought is for sale. And they range in price from $39 to, I think, $109. So they're fairly reasonable price for the size of art.
Right. And all of this goes right back into supporting more artwork and supporting the community.
Yes, exactly. And every piece of art comes with a handwritten description written by the artist of the scene.
Oh, that is very cool. So on the back of the I'm going to call it the plate again,
yeah.
Or even the wall hanging here, there's a description of
in a little pocket.
Yeah, that's great.
Handwritten by the artist. And then when you purchase the piece of art, there's a photograph of each artist besides their piece of art. And when you purchase the art, you get the photograph, the bio of the artist. So that comes with the art.
Right.
Goes home.
Talking about making connections, you know, it's just when I first saw that a few years ago when Dick flipped a piece of art and there was this little pocket and you carefully, you know, unfold the piece of paper and someone in Zimbabwe wrote that note about what it is that they're trying to depict. Very simple, nothing fancy, but what a strong connection. It's just really wonderful.
Yeah. And will these art pieces be up for a while or just for First Friday? Will they be up for the month or?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be up for the month of December.
So what's happened in the past sometimes, and I've mentioned this to Teresa, you know, if some people in Juneau want to send these away, mail them to and give them as holiday presents, and so we say, sure, go ahead. But, if you're not ready to mail it for another couple of weeks, can you leave them up? And they're marked. They're set aside. No one else is going to get them so that people coming into the station throughout the next few weeks get to enjoy them. But for certain, if there's someone who's far away who needs one of these, yes, they can walk away tomorrow with the purchaser, for sure.
And then tomorrow is actually a really great opportunity to learn a lot more about the organization because you're here.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, and I love to talk about that and the artists, so I look forward to meeting people from Juneau.
Teresa spent, was it 7 weeks last summer, 6 weeks?
Yeah, I spent 7 weeks in Zimbabwe.
That's a long time to be there with them and to get to know when we're very closely with them.
Yeah.
And is that mostly to connect with the artists and see how the art is made? And
yes. And we work with a gentleman in Zimbabwe who's Zimbabwean, and he works with the artists on our behalf year-round. So a lot of what he does is what I call social work. He does a lot of taking the artists to a private physician, to the pharmacy, to a lab, to get an x-ray, and he prices if they need an MRI or something with healthcare. I mean, healthcare is not, it is expensive there. And so an x-ray is $50, and most of the artists, do not make I mean, most of the people in Zimbabwe, at least 70% live on less than $2 a day. So to pay $50 for an X-ray is just impossible for a lot of people. But the artists that we work with, if somebody needs an X-ray, we're able to, because of donations that we receive, not from the sale of the art. The sale of the art tends to go back into trainings that we do with the artists. We often pay established artists to train new and emerging artists, or if one artist wants to learn another technique, we'll put a training on with a couple of established artists, and they will train other artists how to do their technique. So that's where the art sale from the art goes back to help those programs, and to buy more art, of course.
And for tomorrow, if people are not interested in purchasing art, but they still want to make a donation to the organization, they can do that as well?
Yes, they can. So I can, yeah, I can take, yes, and donations.
Great. And then online, where can people go to check out ZAP?
They can go to ZimbabweArtistsProject.org. So with our, the name of the organization, .org.
And Madeline, I was hoping that you could tell us one more time just about the details for tomorrow's event.
Okay. It opens at 4:30 during Gallery Walk. It runs till 7 here in the KTOO studio. We will have refreshments, and it's the Zimbabwe Artist Project featuring the artwork of women and men of the Weya area of eastern Zimbabwe.
It's, I'm just walking around the halls. It's always, it's already just brightened and livened the whole place up.
Yeah.
So definitely put that on your first Friday gallery walk routine. Make it over here to KTOO. Madeline and Teresa, thank you so much for coming on air to talk about the Zimbabwe Artist Project.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. It is Thursday, December 4th. And here is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Has the winter cold got you thinking about the tropics? Perhaps you've already decided to migrate south, as many of our birds have. Winter is a great time to travel into Mexico and Latin America or beyond to go birding. And if you do, consider staying in an eco-lodge or hiring a local nature guide. Ecotourism allows visitors to enjoy the natural setting, but with a low impact on birds and other wildlife, and with a minimum use of natural resources. Local guides, including those that specialize in birding, are often listed in travel books or websites, or find them through hotels and nature preserves. Many speak English, and most are familiar with local birds and the best places to find them. Hiring a local guide can be a win for all. You win because you have the services of an expert who truly knows the area. Guides win because they gain employment. And the birds win because local communities discover an economic incentive to protecting the birds and their habitats. So head on down south and enjoy the birds and support the communities that are helping to save them. To find resources to help you plan your eco-minded travel, begin at birdnote.org.
Support for a Juno Afternoon comes from BEP Company, providing remanufacturing and recycling services for toner and inkjet print cartridges. Serving Juno for 25 years. More information at bepcompany.com or 789-2230.
Programming is made possible in part by Juno's own Alaska Pure Mountain Spring Water. Available in Juno stores or delivered in 5-gallon jugs to homes and offices. 780-4262.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, December 4th. And in the studio, I'm talking really fast because
okay,
I know. Ready to go. Because Nancy DeJourney is here, and we have 1,000 million things to talk about. The one, the only Nancy DeJourney.
Oh, hey, thank you, Mrs. Osterhout. Okay, how fast can we go?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so just in case you get lost, you can go to our website, jahc.org or ktoo.org, and get this. And we'll post this whole thing up there for you. But, okay, we're going to do it.
And there's also a cool app that KTOO is working on for First Friday.
Yes, it's
so
very
great.
Cool. And But best of all, you should just put on some your walking boots, your running shoes, and come on down Friday. We'll start. Alaska Robotics is doing a show by Patrick Race, Whale Moot, and I believe he'll be talking about this possibly. The Alaska State Library, Outside My Window, Capital City Quilts on the 8th floor. They're only open until 6, so you make that a little bit early. The Alaskan Brewing Depot has live music with the Juno Symphony, and the latest release to brews, you must be 21 and older to go there. And that's only on Gallery Walk Night. Alaska Folk Festival has pop-up stores. Last year's sold-out Ray Troll designs are available for one night only.
Ooh. I just got excited.
On the Senate floor, second floor of the Senate building, the Alaskan Hotel and Bar has various artists, wine and beer special tastings by specialty imports. Annie Kales has M.K. McNaughton Inside the Gray is the name of her show, and Karen Beeson Recent Works, and that will be up all through December, but stop in there because they always have treats. Aunt Claudia's Dolls has a grand reopening and expansion. I know she got a couple of the robots from our show when we had the robots, and if you've never been to Aunt Claudia's Dolls, take time to do this. She's also open on Saturday afternoon, so you can go there. Aurora Project has Photography for a Good Cause by Rosie Ainza. And this, the proceeds from this one fund a children's home in Nairobi, I believe. So be generous. Bauer Clifton Interiors has photography by Inua Blevins, Adam Wood, and Alan Corbett. Bustin' Out Boutique. Are you ready for this?
Bustin' Out Boutique.
Ooh la, they're having a soft opening. It's a lingerie store.
Oh! God, my prayers have been answered.
Okay, then. So they will have their real grand opening on the 12th, but they have a soft opening on Friday, and it's Works in Wood by David Forrest as well. They are also
Wait,
in the
Senate
building.
Is that a separate
building.
Thing?
Well, they're showing the wood art. Let's just not go there.
I did. I totally went
well,
there.
Well, you have an excuse.
I can't help it.
I know. Okay, Caribou Crossing has, as they usually do, jewelry by Lisa McCormick. It's gorgeous. Go on down. They're down by across from the library. Coho's has various artists. They have Appy Hour. They have music with Bob Bloom and Terry Tibbett. And they have, I don't know what all the artists are that are going to be up, but nice place to stop and rest if you need to. Copa, this is the last opportunity to have rhubarb sherbet until spring. And they also have Visible Light by Jim Fowler. So they have a beautiful show and wonderful ice cream. Elise Tomlinson has a studio opening. She's on 119 Seward Street, Suite 5. And so I think that's upstairs from something. From the Juno Drug, I believe. Fairweather Gallery will be open with various Alaskan artists. GCI has Colors of the Night by Frank Lynn Pierce. I believe it's photography. Hearthside Books, Peter Metcalf and Kathy Ruddy will be signing their new book, A Dangerous Idea. The Jewel Box has exotic gemstone designs, music by the Chapel by the Lake Bell Choir, diamond cookies. Janaet will be open. They have Wayne Price and Donald Gregory doing carving demonstrations. The Juno Empire has First Friday with Santa at Capital City Weekly. That's on the corner by the Baranoff. With artwork by Empire employees as well, so stop in there. The Juno Artist Gallery, featured artist is Les Howard, and many of the other artists are bringing in new work. We have Synergy 2 by Avery Skaggs. They're hanging it right now. It's fabulous, exciting new work by him. Friends of the Library will be there with their bricks. The Juno Douglas City Museum has Breakthrough Big Works by Constance Baltok. She got a grant and went out and did bigger works than she usually does. It's going to be great. Kindred Post, which is the old Minor Postal, has Kindred Conversations, a phone photo booth with Hannah Hoshide. I'm not sure I'm saying her name right. My apologies. And Growing Upwards, new works by Christine Ami Erickson and music by Alaska Pella. The Mount Judo Trading Post has Frank Mooney and Andrew Tripp, who who are totemic jewelry artists. K2 has, you have, it's beautiful. I just walked past these. The Zimbabwe Artist Project is wonderful artwork, and that also is a benefit for the Zimbabwe Art Project. I don't remember what all. Anyway, Percy's liquor store is now part of First.
What?
Well, it should have been all along.
Now
anyway.
We're getting good. I know.
They have new artists. I believe that Larry Johansson will have some of his photography there. Rainforest Yoga, just in case you need a little break in the action, from 5:15 to 7:15 has yoga with Lindsay Kirchhoff. Rockwell has toy selfies by Chris Pelosi. It's little dolls taking pictures of themselves. The Rookery has Layers by Mary Vanderjack. They will only be open a little bit until 6:30. They have other things going on. The Silver Bow Backroom has recent works by McGill Pratt. The Southeast Land Trust is having an open house. They are at 119 Seward Street as well. The Canvas has Painting Through Layers by Reach Artists. And Tracy's Crab Shack is open. They will have employee artwork and some discounts on things. Vanity, which is up a kitty corner from the Baranoff, has Jason Lucas' new artwork, and they're having a second anniversary party. Wilderness Peaks has a grand reopening, a 10-year retrospective by Daniel Busket. And Wings Airways Taku Lodge office there on the wharf will have various work by Michelle Donahue, Jocelyn Ward, Mandy Johnson. We made it.
Wow.
Oh, wait a minute. There's one more, which is not on this. This is Rejuvenation has a special going on. You go out there. They have specials on their things in their lobby, and you can get dressed up to come
on the Valley?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's spreading.
Yeah. Well, and also, if you're done with your first Friday Shenanigans at 7:30, I know there's the band playing up at the Rockwell, too. It's a party.
It's a party. We've got the Nutcracker Ballet going on this weekend. The Juno Bach Society is doing their Bach cantatas, which are always lovely. It's the last weekend of Chicago. And I know it's sold out, and you know that better than anybody, but I hear that they get people in.
We have been squeezing people in like
shoehorn.
Sardines.
Yes. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth the wait to go out and wait for that. Let's see. On Saturday, also, Gold Street Music is at Resurrection Lutheran Church. And on Sunday, it's Tuba Christmas Concert. Don't you love it?
My face just got so excited. Just got so excited.
Yes, it is. And, of course, Dan Hobson is at the Gold Room on the weekend. So, let's see. Holiday Helpers at Chapel by the Lake on Saturday. I mentioned there's storytelling. There's a whole bunch of storytelling events coming up, by the way. There's storytelling at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitors Center. Let's see. There's a painting party. I just remember that there are so many things going on. Northern Light 40th Anniversary Celebration at Northern Light Church on Sunday the 7th. There is, that's when the tuba party is. Also, the Douglas Tuba Christmas is at the Douglas United Methodist Church. And let's see, the Bach Society, you have a second chance to see that on Sunday. And Finding Fella is at Goldtown Nickelodeon. On Tuesday is the Governor's Annual Open House.
Wow.
And that's from 3 to 6. From 8:30 to 5, there's the 16th Annual Alaska Bird Conference. There's a UAS art exhibit at the Baranoff Hotel on Tuesdays from 4:30 to 9. And there is Mud Rooms on Tuesday from 7 to 8:30 at Northern Light Church. And I believe it's Accidents Happen is their theme. I don't know if we want to know about that. Let's see. There's a bicycle clinic with Colin Cycle Alaska is doing something. North to the Arctic by bike. There's Ultimate Frisbee. All right, we made it.
Listen, I know, I'm like, done. Ultimate Frisbee. It's the ultimate.
Let's see if I forgot anything.
Nancy, where can we check it out?
At jahc.org or at ktoo.org. We just have had, this is an amazing Juno tradition. I don't know how many years it's been going on here, but I believe one of the Reifenstein girls may have started it.
Cool.
So, yeah, do we have any time to talk
so
about anything more? Or is,
no, we
is
are
our time
good to
is
go.
Up?
Our time is nigh.
Okay, well, happy holidays.
Thank you, and we'll see you around town on First Friday.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, December 4th. And we've got about 4 minutes in the studio, and we've got Pat Race in here from Alaska Robotics. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. So you have an exhibit tomorrow.
Yes,
opening.
Yeah, tomorrow for Gallery Walk, there are 1,000 things going on, and I'm one of them. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, over at the Alaska Robotics Gallery, and I guess Front Street will be closed down, and I did a whole bunch of whales. So I did some digital illustrations and some – I tried to do some watercolors, but I don't think those are going to make the cut.
Oh, really?
I've got a big, cool acrylic one, though, that I did. I've been reading Moby Dick, and I did, like, a big Moby Dick illustration.
Was that kind of the impetus for the whales?
No, actually, I started reading Moby Dick because I was drawing a lot of whales. So I was like, why haven't I read this book? I hear it's a classic. Yeah, so I got the book, and I'm just slowly wading through it. It's dense. It's not a difficult read, but it's dense. Yeah, that's the word. It's like that really like thick, healthy bread with all the nuts and grains in it. It's like, oh, I only need one piece. So like, oh my God.
And but there's 300 and or 400.
There's
pieces.
A lot of pieces of bread. Yeah. So I've eaten about probably a third of a loaf. Yeah.
So you've got some whale prints and what else? Because I found some really cool bears too.
Well, I do bears and I have had a bunch of bears on display for a while for the last year or so. I did a big bear calendar last year, and I'm gonna actually do. So I did this, a calendar with bears on it was the thing that I made. And this year I was accused of being a little lazy because I didn't do a new calendar. But I'm going to actually release the next one probably in a few months, like in the summertime, so that I have some time for people to get it. So the 2016 calendar will be a calendar with whales on it. And a bunch of these whale illustrations will end up on that calendar. And so bears, whales, I'm not sure what's after that. Dinosaurs? Maybe I'll let people decide, like vote on it or something.
Well, does it have to be another Alaska animal, actually?
No, it doesn't have to be Alaska animal, no. One person did suggest that they were like, I'm going to make a calendar with gooey ducks on it to make fun of you. Oh, thanks. That's awesome.
I'd like to see that, actually.
Yeah, me too. It's just big phallic gooey ducks. Yeah, great.
So what else is going on? So they'll have a lot, because you all have, you usually have some of Sarah Asper Smith's books and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, so we've got, I mean, we have all that stuff. We've got a bunch of Sarah's stuff, some of Mitch's prints. I'm not sure. We might end up with some of Inari's stuff. Inari works for us, and she's fantastic. I'm not sure if she's bringing things in, but she sort of hinted that she might. And then we've got all this new stuff by me that people haven't seen. It's fun. It's fun to present it and share it. Yeah,
well, because lately we've been getting a lot of out-of-town artists, which have been the focus, which is so cool.
Yeah.
But it's also really great to see your stuff up there, too.
Yeah, I try and bring in a lot of people. So we brought in people from Portland and California and all up and down the coast and just try and share different art styles. But then, like, I want to take what I learned from all these people that we bring up and try and put some of that together and share some of my work, too.
Yeah.
But I... You know, and I don't want to just talk about my stuff, though. There's this, like, my friend Rosie, and maybe she came in and talked to you today. She's doing a super amazing, like, photo fundraiser for this school that she taught at. And it's a really – I talked to her about it earlier today, and it's a really intimate and neat experience. And she's doing this thing over at Aurora Project. So that's something that I think people should probably go check out. And I love what you guys have going on in the hallway here, the Zimbabwe artists. And I like this idea of connecting these cultures and sort of reaching out to these, like groups of people that can do a lot more with this money than we can. You know, it's like, hey, they're going to sell this print here for this original painting for $40, and it means a ton to them. And I like that a lot. So,
yeah.
So buy some of that stuff, and then if you have money left over, come down over to my place and buy some of my stuff so that I can eat food too.
That's a perfect way to end Juno Afternoon. Definitely check by Alaska Robotics during Gallery Walk. You'll see Pat Race's original new stuff there, whales. A whale of a good time.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon.
Unequivocally, police officers feel like they've thrown under the bus.
The reaction from some New York police after Mayor Bill de Blasio announces new training initiatives for the force.
Today is Thursday, December 4th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm...